Lord, we pray that we might hear your voice, know your presence, and follow you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, friends, if you've ever met a saint. Yes, there's a few. Most of us would probably feel the same way about saints as we do about unicorns. It would be really nice to have one, but good luck ever finding it. Saints are revered figures, aren't they? Whose holiness and bravery or wisdom just sets them apart from us mere mortals, be they people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., or John Stott. In a post-COVID world, many might call professionals like nurses or firefighters saints because of the way they put their lives on the line for others. But I think there's more to being a saint than bravery or duty. Being ordinary doesn't make you any less of a saint, because if truth be told, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. It's important to remember that God is the one who makes saints. God is in the saint-making business because God calls out from within people things that they never knew they had. Things like faith, hope, and love. I'm sure if being a saint required a test, like getting your license, then the Beatitudes would set the standard, wouldn't they? And let's face it, the Beatitudes are way harder than doing a three-point turn or reversing a trailer. Surely anyone who could pass that test should get a saint card. But for most of us, we really just try and get our way through the world in the best way we can. After all, in our world, who wants to be poor when having money means that someone else will fix whatever problems you have? And who wants to mourn when stock prices are rising? And who needs to be humble when they can grab anyone they like? And who cares about mercy when you're untouchable? If we listen only to the news, it would seem that the world only hungers and thirsts to have yet more stuff. Where having the most adoring fans seems to be the only thing that counts. Or when winning is all that matters, because losing, well, that's just for chumps. No wonder people believe that saints are people from a bygone age. In today's world, I think there are many Christians who would claim this title of saint for themselves. They imagine themselves to be God's army here on earth, wrapping themselves in this imagery from Revelation. They believe that if the church is triumphant in heaven, then it should be victorious here on earth too. Because God wants his children to be winners and not losers. As winners, they imagine themselves to be God's white army under threat from a hostile world gathered around the throne. The only question is, whose throne do they gather around? Because what is the cause of their suffering? What is the ordeal, the existential threat that many Christians feel that they are facing today? Put simply, for many Christians, the only threat that they can see is a world that wants equality. It's people who want to enjoy the kind of security, prosperity, and go that we do. They want to enjoy it no matter their heritage or where they came from or how old they are or however their body works or whomever they love. Such Christians who are perplexed by equality give praise and glory and wisdom to whomever promises to save them. It's perplexing to see Christians falling over themselves for leaders who promise to preserve the past and to keep this kind of equality at bay. But here's the thing. True shepherds are characterized by their capacity to wipe away tears, not to cause them to be shed. The Apostle John would have us see saints in a different light. The real saints are not white, but they are dressed in white. Robes that they claim not for themselves. They are not assembled because they are all the same. They are different and diverse because they come from every nation, from every tribe, from every people. They speak every single language and presumably come with all the customs and beliefs and points of view that people have. These saints find their unity not in uniformity, but their oneness grows from gathering around the shepherd who sits upon the throne. Their mission is not to keep God safe from a dark world, but to recall how God is the one who feeds and sustains and comforts them, no matter how dark the world might be, because the world desperately needs to be saved by this shepherd. What John wants us to see is that God makes saints out of ordinary people by calling out from within them things that they never knew they had. John looks forward to a time when people would see Christ face to face. He looks forward to that moment when we would become like Christ, pure and unblemished. But what is the nature of this purity? Is it a matter of being unwavering in our convictions, no matter how unpopular they are? Is it a matter of being unyielding, no matter how unreasonable we seem? Saints are no more characterized by their superhero bravery than by their noisy insistence on being biblical about everything. What makes a saint isn't being perfect, but being open to God's work within them. Purity is a matter of being oriented by God's heart around the things that God cares about, even when it seems too much or too expensive or just too darn inconvenient. Saints care about the things that God cares about, knowing that they are just impossible to achieve in our own strength. Saints are simply people who are open to the work of the Spirit in their life. The Spirit who plants the seeds of faith, hope and love. It's faith, hope and love that draws the saints to God's throne. It's faith, hope and love that see the saints clothed in white. It's faith, hope and love that sees people not merely talk about God with their lips, but actually resemble God in their lives. The Beatitudes may never mention the words faith, hope, and love, but these words flow through them all. They are the current that sustains them. Because without faith, hope, and love, well, as far as the Beatitudes go, you might as well try and skateboard to the moon. It takes faith to admit our own spiritual neediness, doesn't it? That we can't be perfect in our own strength. It takes hope to mourn the things and the people that we lose, because we know that Christ is the one who will wipe away all our tears. It takes love to be humble, to make room for others so that everyone can have their fair share of a planet that's meant to sustain us all. It takes so much faith to hunger and thirst for what is right, especially when we can only see injustice flourishing like weeds in a garden. It takes so much hope to show mercy, because when does vengeance ever help anyone put anything right when things have gone so wrong? As for having a pure heart, well, that's not a matter of being right or even theologically correct. It's only love that enables the saints to see God at work in this world. A God who goes about feeding and sustaining and comforting all those who seek him. Those who live by faith will strive to make peace by reconciling enemies, because they know that violence and conflict can never build anything worth keeping. Those who live with hope are prepared to suffer by doing what is right, because they know that someone has to make the first move so that God's kingdom can start here and now. And if you live a life for love, well, we do well to remember the words of William Barber, who's wearing the mantle of Martin Luther King, because at first, others, well, they'll just ignore you, pretending that what you say and do doesn't matter at all. And if you live a life of love, well, pretty soon they'll start laughing at you. You know, with all your kumbaya idealism, just how far does that get anyone? But then they'll start to hate you and fight you, telling all kind of lies about how wishy-washy and spineless you are, and, well, how we can't possibly afford any more equality in this country, and how fairness will actually rob those who have more than they can use or imagine. But be joyful and be glad, William will say, because in the end, love wins. Because when all is said and done, the only things that are worth keeping or worth having are things that are grown in and by love. My friends, God is in the saint-making business. Saints are not people who live out these beatitudes flawlessly, but are people who are willing and open enough to let the Spirit plant these seeds of faith, hope, and love in their lives so that they might grow a harvest that is beyond their imagining. Saints are not self-made champions with answers to have everything, but they are people who are prepared to let faith, hope, and love shift their perspective, to change their priorities, to take a step out into this world confident to know that God will make a difference somehow, in some way. Saints are never perfect. They are simply sinners who have discovered that God loves them deeply, and they are open enough to let the Spirit work through them. Faith, hope, and love endure because these three things reflect the very character of God. And because they endure, saints endure also beyond death, beyond any pain, beyond all sickness, because God is the one who sustains them. God is calling out faith, hope, and love in the lives of his saints. Who knows what will happen if we answer his call. Amen.